fighting for America.
He's a murderer! A cold-blooded murderer! We didn't say the carnal sex! A cold-blooded murder! That's it! Homicide! It's a homicide!
Fighting for Idaho.
The notion that white cops are out there just killing black people, that's ridiculous. And I hate that narrative coming out of that, out of this entire situation. You know, they're the only thing in the ghetto between this place being the Wild Wild West.
Fighting for you.
I don't know if we like facts. That's going to probably deflate the story, but please go ahead.
I understand that.
Boise's Mr. Right.
We thank you for listening and for calling in.
You're welcome.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Do want to let you know, coming up, your chance to win tickets to the Sound of Music. And coming up next, we will have more of our conversation concerning whether or not the Mountain West Championship game is worth going to. I think that it is. It's just the ticket prices. And we've been hearing from a lot of people that are very upset concerning the high cost of tickets to a Boise State game. And, you know, a lot of people are not going to talk about that. They're not going to cover your voice based on the fact that nobody wants to upset the blue. Sadly, because powerful interests. Look, if I were running that program, I wouldn't want someone like Kevin Miller talking about the high cost of tickets, would you? We go to Christy saying, Kevin, I can pay $50 for good seats at AT&T Park in San Francisco to see the Giants play Major League Baseball, and that is cheap. I would never pay $20 to see BSU play college football in Boise. Pretty harsh. And again, I don't want to be misconstrue this here, that we're beating up on the Broncos, if you will, but we are giving a voice to the people when we're talking about the high cost of ticket prices and the ROI. Like I said, you're going to have people that are going to sit back and say that it's the fans' fault, the tickets are reasonably priced. We had Sherry saying, hey, for $40, I can get groceries for a week. That's pretty good. So I want you to hold your thoughts for a minute. We will talk more about that coming up. Joining us now is Dr. Robert Gustentine to talk about water. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Pretty good. So how are we doing as far as water here in Idaho?
Well, Idaho has, I checked over about the last 10 years, and or 15 years rather, back to 2000. And the U.S. Drought Monitor that's supported out of NOAA and the university system says you've been in drought off and on for the last, 10 to 15 years, and then the last 5 years, more and more acute in different areas. But I think overall usage is up, and I think there's always good news, but there's certainly a pattern of drought there in Idaho.
Well, certainly. Does that mean we're in danger of running out of water here?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's just going to be periods of scarcity that'll be faced. I think as the population there hasn't grown too awfully much, it's certainly pretty sparsely populated, but I think the Snake River, the water that Boise uses there in Ada County, is going to be pretty well supplied. But I think in overall, of course, irrigation and agriculture uses the majority of water across the nation. I think the farmers are going to probably see a greater incidence of scarcity than the populations will in domestic use.
Well, speaking of that, what about the entire country? We always hear about the upcoming water shortage. Is that a reality?
Well, I think it is in certain areas. I think that's the clarity we hope to bring as a company is there is certainly scarcity in the Central Valley of California. There are certainly drought conditions out west. And I think you'll see, of course, in the Southwest, you'll see drought conditions pretty severe from West Texas to Phoenix. And I think in those areas, of course, there's incredible scarcity. Wichita Falls recently announced its intentions to pursue and study first, I think, the reclamation of the recycling of sewer for drinking water. So people won't do that without some motivation. So I think in certain areas of the country, absolutely, there's going to be scarcity, and things are going to have to decisions are going to have to be made about what those populations do, their behaviors, and then primarily what the farming community does in certain parts. There's water-rich areas, of course. Minnesota is not having a problem. Other parts of the nation are experiencing floods.
Right. You're right about that. But, I mean, is the science legit to recycle sewer water?
Well, I think the reality is, and for the people I represent, we don't take we're not taking a significant position on climate change, other than saying things have changed, patterns have changed, but we're not going to argue about why that's happening. But there's been three primary trends, I think, driving a lot of this, and part of that is weather patterns are changing. They just have. That's fact of why it's happening. That's the debate. There's population increase is another driving factor. And then the other demographic part of this is people are moving to the cities still. That's happening globally. And when you concentrate people on a relatively limited supply of water, then you're going to experience scarcity.
What do you say to people, though, with grandkids and kids that are concerned about the quality of life going down, that, you know, water may one day be a commodity like oil?
Well, I agree. I agree with that. I think there's and a lot of people do, and that's almost a bumper sticker, water is the new oil. Russian Interior Minister just said that the other day. Harvard had a big conference, water conference, at the end of September of this year, and said just that, water is the new oil. A driver of conflict, just like oil has been, I think, my own opinion, this is going to be the kitchen table conversation of the next generation.
Well, we always talk about conserving water. Any thoughts on what we can do now to prevent this from happening?
Well, I think there's of course, a couple of things. And it's always great to have domestic users, those who use it in their kitchens and use it in their on their lawns to conserve water. That's kind of a stewardship-type thing to do that many people are used to living in that vein. I think the domestic use is of course, a small part of what we how we use our water in the United States, even globally. It's the industrial and primarily agricultural use of water that are the biggest consumers. And anytime you have water-intensive industries or you have large farming communities, those are the largest consumers. So there's where I think we can find interesting ways to not necessarily rid ourselves of a water problem, but how we might manage it better, and I think there's certainly ways we can approach irrigation. There's certain ways we can consume water in the industrial and agricultural sectors. That's going to help. It's just going to help the farmers day to day move through the next 50 years. But I think what we as a company offer really, and what I think is really going to be helpful, is how do we understand the problems? And then the decisions that the governments and the water authorities make, we make as voters, are we making the most informed decisions possible? And that's where I think we can gain a lot of advantage over issues that we face, is really trying to understand the problem better.
Indeed. It is amazing that water could be the next oil. Anything else that you'd like to share with us today, sir?
Well, I think we look at oil, you know, over the last, well, maybe the last 50 years as a driver of conflict. Oil has become and has been a national security issue, and now that we've found more and more deposits of oil and we're able to get to it in the United States or in Canada, that's starting to wane. So there's not only an absolute refocus on the water, but there's also a relative refocus. Oil has become more and more plentiful. moving it even commercial quantities, and water seems to be staring us in the face. Driver of conflict overseas, absolutely. Here in the United States, we've got three or four state versus state litigation at the Supreme Court. Florida's has a case against Georgia's consumption and storage of water off the rivers that flow through Georgia into northern Florida. Then that's at the Supreme Court. So the federal government's getting involved in adjudicating those things, Nebraska, Kansas, Texas, and New Mexico, same things. We have litigation going on already. Those are being handled in the courts, of course, right now. But when you drive scarcity to higher levels, especially overseas, go to the Jordan River, go to the Mekong Delta, look at the China has basically its hand on the tap of water in Asia because it controls Tibet. And most of the larger rivers that supply most of the world's population originate in the Himalaya region there in Tibet. So India, Southeast Asia, China itself, often water scarce or dependent upon the rivers that flow out of China. So it's a national security issue in the future. And many people have said that. I think as a driver of conflict, as a driver of change in how we manage water, how we look at it, is it a commodity? Are we pricing water appropriately? And it's easy to price water cheaply when there's plenty, and we just don't even consider it. And so it's like our air. It's always been there, so we really don't consider it as something we need to adjust our price of water and how it's delivered to a household or a farmer. But I don't think that's the case in the future. And I think it's not only going to be a national security issue, it's a driver of conflict overseas, as it has been. It's also going to be a kitchen table discussion because the price of water in some areas is going to go up.
Exactly. Dr. Gus Stein, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. It is Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's go back to the phones, and we go to Tom Munns with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Tom.
Sounds like a supporter of government-mandated price control. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Our country is spinning out of control, isn't it? Well, I had a couple of comments on BSU because you know how much I love them. You know, people continue to take so much abuse, and they just continue to whine, and they continue to complain, and, you know, they allow TSA to be able to be groping you and all that. Well, and then they bring those tactics over to BSU and have you groped, and then they charge you $6 a beer and $15 for a hot dog.
That sounds like you've been to many football games, Tom.
Why don't people just, you know, sending a message is quite simple if you can get people unified. And the one thing that we can do is just say, you know what, we're not paying it, we're not going. When they realize that they've got an empty stadium, they're going to quickly rethink their whole situation. I mean, look what the schools around the country are doing to our kids. Look what they're doing to our men. Look what they're doing to our families. They're completely corrupting their minds and completely detracting their minds from the things that are truly important. Now, I'm not saying you can't go. It's fine that you go. But you know what? If your whole life is more surrounding about the stats of a particular football team, you better get your freaking head examined. You know? I mean, this is our nation is crumbling. Nobody understands the law anymore. And we've got federal intervention everywhere, and all we're worried about is going to a football game. Why hasn't anybody complained about $6 beer anyway? I mean, you get a 6-ounce glass of beer for $6. I mean, why isn't anybody talking about that? They could have easily just not bought beer, and that would have lowered the cost of the beer.
Well, I'm not a drinker. Tom, thank you for the call. We go to Mickey and Star with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm my Mikey. Hello, am I
yes.
on the air?
You're on the air, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you one thing. That last caller about the beer, you remember when we did Nickel Beer Night in Alabama? That solved everything except for the fans got too crazy. Well, you come out and support these Broncos now. These boys work hard and the coaches work hard, and I just think you ought to come out here, and it's a fun team.
Well, what do you say to people that aren't buying the tickets?
Well, I tell you what, you need to get your – I'll tell you what I'd like to see you do.
Are you going to the game?
Well, you got to get your priorities. It doesn't matter if I'm going or not, but you fans need to get your priorities straight. We worked hard to get to this game.
Well, now, wait a minute, though. You can't sit there. I mean, why aren't you going to the game if you're such a big supporter?
Well, it's cold out. You know that.
Yes. It's cold for the players, too.
Well, but I just think fans here in town, I mean, we're going to be playing in one of them Sugar Bowls, and maybe we'll make the Final Four. And we need to get out and support this team.
What do you say to people that don't have enough money to do that?
Well, they need to get their priorities straight. I see them down buying cigarettes and stuff.
I don't think
it's funny. Put your cigarette money and buy tickets and support them. These guys are working hard.
Fair enough.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
Can I get you them Sound of Music tickets?
We'll work on that. Thank you.
All right. You keep up the good job now.
Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up, much more. Your thoughts, your views. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, and hopefully we'll get back to the Dixie conversation. We have the commissioner of the Mountain West, Craig Thompson, is going to join us. But, you know, again, are the ticket prices too much? Should we cut the price of tickets? If I were the ticket czar, I'd cut them in half. But I'm just your companion each and every morning. Let's get you to
the DMB Garden Show with Debbie Cook, Saturday mornings at 10 on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO, taking your phone calls about the issues that impact you. Why don't we give away our two family four packs now to the Sound of Music. And that's at the Nampa Civic Center, Music Theater of Idaho. We appreciate that. Let's go back to the phones. And we, by the way, caller 10 and 12 at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, to Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. All right. Let's go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO.
Breaking news, Kevin. It's foggy in Caldwell. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm peachy. Couldn't be any better. It's a beautiful day. I love the fog. Hey, you know, the problem is that too many people are so dang involved with sports activities, they don't do anything else. They talk sports, they eat sports, that's all they do. They'll save up all their money to go to these games. And they're not even looking at the issues of what's really going to affect their lives in the near future. And we've got all these things going on in the world right now, all this race baiting stuff and people hating each other. You know, this is the season when we should be gathering up and doing all we can to help our brothers and sisters. And that's what it's all about. I mean, the world needs to change drastically, but not like the way the president wants it. We need to change drastically to beginning to understand each other and love each other instead of spewing this hate stuff they're always doing. I just look forward to this season and pray that people will just take another look at things and decide that, you know, I can make a difference if I change my life, not trying to change everybody else's life. And these so-called reverends, Jackson and the others, all they are is race baiters. They're just sitting out there making themselves richer.
Well, then we've got the situation where we have a Canyon County prosecutor under siege for reciting the words of Dixie, prosecuting a man who was convicted of lewd conduct with a 17-year-old, I'm sorry, yes, and sexual battery with a 13-year-old, and allegations of racism because the convicted is black.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to say anything, because no matter what you say, they'll turn around and make it a race issue. So it's just getting to the point of ridiculous. And all it is let's divide the people every way we can. And who in the heck looked this up and then decides this is a real issue when you've got somebody who's doing atrocious things like this man has done? We're just becoming a very sick society where good is evil and evil is good, and that's what the good book says. So we got to keep going forward, brother.
God bless.
You have a good day. God bless you and your sweet family.
All right, our friend Patriot Ray, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, we'll speak with the commissioner of the Mountain West Conference, Craig Thompson. We'll talk about the big game, the economic impact, ticket prices, student athletes, and other big issues. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk. And I'm never
going back. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, waiting the commissioner of the Mountain West Conference to give us a call, talk about the big game tomorrow. Taking your calls on ticket prices and the appeal of college football, we go to Liberal Steve with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
Apologize, Kevin, for dropping my phone while I was driving on the floorboards. I got to say this about the Bronco Nation. I mean, Bronco Nation has helped Idaho, the entire state of Idaho, tremendously, helped the college tremendously. I support them through donations, but I don't
You're a BSU supporter?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Can you hold on for a minute? Hello?
Liberal
Steve?
I'm here.
All right. Hang on for a minute. Joining us now, the Commissioner of the Mountain West, Commissioner Craig Thompson. Commissioner Thompson, thank you for joining us.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Pretty good. We've been having a spirited debate about attendance, ticket prices, and the roles of student-athletes today. I'm sure you're familiar with all those conversations.
It's taken a change, certainly, with the vote by the board in December and autonomous legislation and the rising costs, millions of dollars for various initiatives, and it'll be an interesting couple years.
Commissioner Thompson, are you concerned about the future of college football, considering, you know, all the changes that are going on? You fought successfully to strengthen the Mountain West Conference and to make sure that schools like Boise State and Fresno State have a proper platform. Is it getting too big too fast?
I don't know. You know, it's the old cliche, it is what it is. You know, certainly we have seven institutions that have been playing college football for over a century. I don't think football's going to go away. I know UAB dropped football this week down in Alabama. But I think that what we're going to have to do is figure out how we proportion, you know, our limited revenues and budgets. Bottom line is no school in the Mountain West Conference is going to have a three-figure, $100 million athletic budget in its lifetime. And you look at what we deal with, I think our average budgets are about $37, $38 million. And it's just like your home budget, Kevin. You have to determine what I'm going to spend my money on.
And it's so hyper-competitive. Let's talk about the game, the platform here at Boise State. Your thoughts on what it means to the conference, to both schools, sir.
Well, I think it's going to be a great setting. It's going to be a historic night tomorrow. Boise State has never won an outright Mountain West title before. They were tri-champion their first year in the league, I believe. And, you know, this one is as simple and as easy and as clean as it gets. If Boise State wins the football game, it will play on New Year's Eve and in 99% the Fiesta Bowl. Cotton and Peach are also opportunities, but it looks as though everything is tracking towards a Boise State return trip to Phoenix. And the Fiesta Bowl, it can't be any simpler. Don't need help from anybody. And so I think to be a part of history, to be a part of the pageantry and the excitement tomorrow night at Albertson Stadium, it's not a once-in-a-lifetime because Boise State has played in two previous Fiesta Bowls, but a tremendous setting, a tremendous opportunity.
You know, even the NFL is having trouble with getting people to the stadium because of the revenue opportunity, or not the revenue, but the appeal of football, watching it at home. How about the Mountain West? How about the SEC? All conferences seem to be challenged with attendance. People are concerned about tomorrow night's game, sir.
They're talking about tonight's game at Levi's Stadium, state-of-the-art, the 49ers Stadium in Santa Clara. If the rain continues today, as it's anticipated, they're talking about a crowd of less than 40,000 for the Pac-12 championship. So it's not us, and you hit it right on the head. Certainly in climate-controlled environments, it's a little different, but when you have to deal with weather and climate, that's one factor. But as you said, it's pretty easy to stay at home. You've got a 60, 70-inch HD TV, no lines, free food, and it's a pretty compelling argument. So what we have to do as administrators, again, is appeal to come to the stadium, feel it, be a part of the pageantry, and 12 years from now, 15 years from now, 50 years from now, saying, oh, yeah, I was at Albertson Stadium that night when we won the Mountain West and got the the Fiesta Bowl invitation.
Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Now, you're impartial. You're the commissioner. A lot of people think that this is going to be a coronation tomorrow night. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it'll be a coronation. I was at the game six, 7 weeks ago when Boise State beat Fresno State by 10 points. Both teams have gotten better. You know, Fresno State started 0-3 with a murderer's row schedule, and I have done well since. So I think it'll be a very competitive game. And, you know, that's the neat thing about sports. It comes down to performance. It comes down to 11 kids versus 11 kids on the other side. And I know Fresno State will come into the game. I would not call it a simple coronation.
When we take a look at the student-athletes and the ever-changing role, the cost of attendance, keeping up with the Joneses, are we forever changing the DNA of college football?
We could be. You know, it's a huge, huge price. I just read where my alma mater, Minnesota, is having a three-year annual price increase. So a ticket that costs something like $300 will cost $900 3 years from now. And they're saying it's price scalping. Just because Minnesota had a good year, now you're using that barometer. No, it is an arms race. It's unfortunate, but you look at institutions and some get more state and university subsidies than others. Some are self-sufficient, but you know, when you start thinking about 100,000 people on any given Saturday in any particular stadium, that's a phenomenal business and enterprise. And what's going to happen is those institutions are going to say, your fan base, the bottom line, ticket buyers are huge, and the backbone of an athletic department is fans in the stands. But you've got other sources of revenue, television and bowls and licensing and other increments that you're saying, I've just simply got to appeal that this is your university, this is your alma mater. You need to support it if you're involved in athletic interests.
So the attendance, though, is a tough issue. I'm sure you've heard this, whether you're at Minnesota or Boise State or Colorado State, people are concerned about the rising cost of tickets. Is that just the cost of doing business?
It's got to be a balance. You know, you cannot just keep going back to the well and saying that ticket costs more. And again, when you look at it, Minnesota's budget's $98 million. I think it's seventh in the Big 10. Well, there's 14 members in the Big 10. However many members in the Big 10, seventh with $98 million budget, three times a Mountain West budget. And you hit it right on the head. You cannot keep saying $100 ticket, $200 ticket, $300 ticket, because guess what? If the game is on TV, you are going to stay home.
Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. What are you doing here in town? What are your duties as you get ready for this big national platform and the championship game?
I've got a wonderful staff. They're doing all the setup, and they've got a walkthrough on the trophy presentation actually this morning. Boise State Athletic Department, Mark Coyle and his staff, I tip my hat. They're phenomenal. They've set up quite a stage for tomorrow night's game. The athletic department, the Broncos athletic department is phenomenal, and I applaud them and appreciate them. What I'm doing is today there's a vote at Colorado State Board of Governors whether to build a $250 million stadium or not. Nevada has a vote of its Board of Trustees whether to put $10 or $15 million into Mackey Stadium. I've got my phones repeatedly, plural, will not stop ringing on athletic director and coaches openings. I've already had two calls from coaches interested in the Colorado State job. So my job is really nothing to do with the championship tomorrow night. It's my normal course of business. People want a lot of these very compelling jobs in the Mountain West that are open.
How big is it for the conference that Boise State, if they win tomorrow night, gets that Fiesta Bowl bid? What does that mean to the conference, prestige-wise and financially?
Well, you know, we have bragged in our 16-year history. We've been the highest-rated non-contract conference, meaning we don't have a contract directly to the Rose and Sugar and Bowls, but we have played in Sugar Bowls, two Fiesta Bowls, a Rose Bowl. I think to maintain that, if you will, that other group of five conferences were the top conference. We feel we have been for 15 years, and this in our 16th season, again, would solidify that. I think Boise State would be a great representative of the Mountain West Conference playing in Phoenix. And again, I don't think there's any question, Kevin, if Boise State wins the game tomorrow night, they will be playing in the Fiesta Bowl unless the sun comes up in the west on Sunday.
Commissioner Thompson, a final thought. How concerned are you about keeping the current teams that you have, considering what you went through in the past few years, what everybody's gone through in the past few years?
I'm not naive. You know, certainly there's not an institution in the Mountain West Conference that wouldn't rather be playing in the Pac-12 or the Big 12. There's more revenue, et cetera, and the academics and the prestige and research universities, but I don't think that's a likelihood. I don't think we're going to have much more conference membership movement over the next few years. Really, the only one with any openings in its membership schools would be the Big 12, which is at 10 members. And, you know, I'm not losing any sleep worrying that we will lose institutions in the next coming years.
Yeah, that would be the concern, is the Big 12, which is 10. But anything else you'd like to say to the folks here in the Treasure Valley? And again, I know you're really busy, and we appreciate you making time for us.
Well, no, you know, I just very much appreciate what Boise State has brought to the Mountain West Conference. I think it's a tremendous institution from President Custer down. I mentioned Mark Coyle, the athletic director. They are an aspiration for other institutions in the Mountain West Conference. If football is the goal and the end game, no one does it better than Boise State in the Mountain West Conference. And, you know, you always have lead dog, but certainly with the facilities, the commitment that Boise State has made to football, it can be aspirational.
Commissioner, good luck.
Thank you, Kevin.
Have a good day, sir.
All right, bye now.
Commissioner Craig Thompson with us, from Commissioner Craig Thompson to the very patient phone-dropping Liberal Steve at 580KIDO.
Name-dropping. Yeah, we need the Bronco Nation. We need it for Idaho. You know, Northern Idaho College up there hopefully gets big, too. And it's just a necessary thing, and it's not an evil. I mean, it takes these not kids, but young men and women, and gives them a positive outlook and everything. So I think what should happen is a lot of corporations or small businesses should buy tickets for their top 10 employees.
Well, how about a break on volume then?
Yeah, or a break on volume. And as far
you buy
as
20 tickets, they're $10 a piece.
Sure, or senior citizen discounts. So you got more old guys losing their voice every Thursday, Friday, or Saturday out there. You know, it's up to us to make sure we get there if we want to go there. You know, I went to every game in the 90s, and that's just something I wanted to do. But I haven't been to a game since because of the RAM and good beer and sorry to advertise on your show and televisions. But you know, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. And that's everything in life. Right, Kevin? I mean, if you can't afford something, Kevin, you don't go. If you can't go to a movie this weekend, you don't go. And if you got a family you got to support, you can't go.
I don't go to movies. I can't afford them.
Oh, okay. Well, I know you eat popcorn. But that's just a fact of life. As far as Tom saying, you know, this is out of control, blah, blah, blah.
Tom was mad about the $6 beers.
Oh, there's people all over that can't afford this, and there's people using their credit cards, you can't afford it.
You heard what the commissioner said, though. You know, the prices are getting out of hand. I really have to run, but I appreciate it. So.
Hey, Kevin, I got one great idea for the Broncos. They should have that guy that couldn't jump Jerome jump the Broncos stadium on a big game night.
Big Ed, thank you. Liberal Steve, quickly to Two Fly Bri. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, I think I remember going to college back 20 years ago at BSU, and tickets were pretty reasonable, and it's just a dismay that they've gotten so high for a game, although the Broncos are doing great, and I look forward to going to a game tomorrow night. Wearing my Bronco t-shirt today to celebrate their anticipation of winning tomorrow. But I, you know, like Steve noted, you know, we have our budgets. So if we can't afford to go to movies or other things, then we have to take that into account. And sometimes we may have to sacrifice going out for pizza when we need to go to the game.
Very good point. Thank you, Two Fly Bri. Quickly to traffic, Kevin Miller. Okay, make sure you check out the Idaho Humane Society. They have 50 small dogs worthy of adoption. Adopt big, small, black, white pets. They'll make your life better. Good day. God bless. Appreciate you listening. No matter what, no matter when, keep the faith. Serving Emma.